I would like to call the study session of the City Council of University City to order at 5:30. Before I hand it off to Mr. Walker, could I ask if any member of council or staff have any changes to tonight's agenda? Mr. Walker?
I'm going to be withdrawing Bill 92. 53.
9253?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, we'll make that official up at the podiums. Okay, Mr. Walker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and members of council. We're having a study session this evening on the pension plans for University City. Mr. Paul Bacher, actuary from Buck Consultants, is going to do a brief overview of the city's pension plans, and then we'll be available for any questions that members of council may have. Mr. Bacher.
Hello, everyone. I'm sorry Steve Seatman couldn't be here tonight, but he has educated me on what he's been doing, and I have the background to be able to talk to you, so I will do my best. If you have any questions, feel free to let me know. So, yes, for a little bit of background on both plans, there are two plans. The non-uniform plan, as of our latest valuation, which we completed last April and provided reports at that time, it was measuring liabilities and assets as of January the 1st of 2014. For the non-uniform plan at that time, there are about 119 actives in the plan, total participants of about 191. Total liabilities for the plan were $22.6 million. Assets were $17.8 million for an unfunded liability of $4.8 million. Steve made clear to me that the contribution policy that UCity has taken on is it's a two-pronged approach. It's taking normal costs, which is accruals that people are earning during the year, and then adding in a 15-year amortization of that unfunded liability that I just mentioned. So that's the current contribution policy for both plans. As far as the police and fire plan's concerned, same kind of numbers. You got about 114 actives in that plan as of the beginning of 14, 212 total participants. The liabilities there are about $32 million. Assets are $26 million for a total unfunded of about $6.2 million. As of those points in time, they're both about 80% funded. The non-uniform plan is 78.8%, to be more precise. The police and fire plan is about 80.9% funded. Does that cover the overview? Any questions that you all may have for me?
Well, could I ask, so we're $11 million unfunded at this point?
In total, that okay. Looks correct.
And I know I've heard of many communities that are having problems in their plans. Is that kind of normal right now? Or is this, I mean, 78 and 80 seem pretty highly funded compared to some other cities I've seen, but that seems like a lot of money.
I would not disagree that that's a lot of money. I can't specifically speak to other groups, but as far as you all are concerned, I think you need to deal with the situation you have. 80% is not poorly funded. I wouldn't say it's poorly funded. I wouldn't say it's very well funded either. It's somewhere adequately funded. Getting towards, working towards the 100% funding is, I think, your plan and what you're working towards. I think I should probably stop talking there.
Could I ask, do you know, has Steve shared with you, is this because we were just not asking people to donate enough over the years, or is this a big hit because of the downturn that we all experienced?
Steve and I did speak this morning. He did speak how the downturn in 2008 had a big impact on the plans and public plans in general. So I think it's more largely due to those recent turn of events in 2008 and subsequent years, but there could be other reasons as well.
So, Mr. Sharp?
Is there such thing as 100% funding, and if there is, what do you do to reach it?
You know, an actuarial measurement's made up of a number of things, a lot of assumptions, those kind of things. What we're trying to do is use the most reasonable assumptions possible. Are they the only assumptions possible? Maybe, maybe not, but we try to pick something that's reasonable. If you had chosen a more aggressive asset allocation, for instance, maybe we might move the discount rate from 6.5% long-term return to something higher. That might reduce that underfunding. Additional contributions could reduce that underfunding. A great year in the stock market could reduce that underfunding. So there's a number of factors that go into that. I wouldn't say there's one that's just going to be a home run for you all that would solve all your problems.
So when you said you might change the interest, so is this what you anticipate our underfunding is, or is that really what we should have in the bank right now? If everyone retired right now, this is what we would need, or is this what you anticipate we will need?
It's more the latter, because what we're trying to do in our calculations is not assume everybody terminated today and commenced their pension benefit. We're assuming that the couple hundred active employees that you have now, we have assumptions for when they're going to terminate, commence their benefit, when they're going to, when people will unfortunately die at some point. All those are factors in our calculations to try to give a picture of what you can expect from the plan. So if everyone did terminate tomorrow for some reason, the number would be different than what we have here. But this is trying to give you the best picture of what we can reasonably expect based on the experience of the plan and what just most people would generally expect in terms of mortality and termination and retirement and those kind of assumptions.
I guess, and I don't understand these like Mr. Crow would, but I guess we call it unfunded, mm-hmm. or underfunded, but we don't know if we'll need all of this money. So is there any, is part of your job always just kind of look out for the next generation or until our current employees are gone? So you're always going to have an estimate that's not entirely accurate because you're estimating. You're estimating the different assumptions, you're estimating the interest, you're estimating everything.
That is a great summary. Our numbers are best estimates of what we would expect to happen using what we think is a reasonable set of assumptions. I don't want to take lightly your comment, but at the same time, as an actuary, the one thing I know when I send out a report to a client is my number is wrong. Something is going to change in those assumptions in actual experience that's going to result in those numbers being different than what I calculated. But that's sort of the purpose of the annual valuation that Steve performs for the plans, so that every year you're sort of reviewing it, you're measuring it under the most recent information, and trying to get a clearer picture today how things have changed over the last few years and then what we can reasonably expect in the future. So we may not have a perfect answer. We never will have a perfect answer, but we're regularly monitoring it so you have the best available information.
Okay, before I go to Ms. Carr, can I ask one more question? Is the best available really the numbers from the beginning of last year?
At this point, yes. To my knowledge, we provided those reports last April. I have no reason to think that Steve and the team are not working on the valuation right now and going to follow that same kind of pattern, so that probably by the next month or two, you'll have updated reports with information as of 1/1/2015.
Ms. Carr?
Thank you. If I understand the job of an actuary, you're to recommend to us what we should be putting aside yearly?
What the report does and what Steve's been working on is you all have a policy in place on how you're going to determine what you want to fund every year. Like I was talking about, sort of what people are accruing in a single year plus an amortization of that underfunded liability. That's what you all have decided upon, and that is what I think recommended contribution is the exact terminology that Steve is using.
Okay. Mr. Walker, did we make our recommended contribution? Because I know we were cited for being, I believe, improperly funding the uniform.
I'm going to defer to the finance director, Tina.
For the police and fire plan, since the funding source came from property tax, and in the past few years, property tax get lower than what we used to receive or what we anticipated. So for the police and fire plan, yes, for the past 2 years, we contribute less than what the actuary recommended.
And don't we set that rate?
Yes, we do set the rate. However, it's based on the assessed valuation of the properties as well.
I'm not exactly sure I understand. We have those assessments the appraisals are sent to us every 2 years, and the
right.
assessment then is based on some percentage of that. So, I mean, we have, unless there's a handful of people that are asking for a change in assessment, we should be fairly certain of what we should be receiving.
It's been lower in the past few years. The taxes,
yeah.
And in the same time, the benefit increase as well, because we have more people retired, mm-hmm. and yeah, so.
So I seem to remember that Mr. McCarthy came up and spoke to us before we approved the rate and asked us to increase the rate, or to do something to adjust this. So I'm just kind of puzzled as to.
The city does not change any calculated rate for the police and fire pension plan. What city maintain the tax rate is just for the general fund portion, because city made the commitment that we're not going to increase the rate for the residents.
Oh, so it was our decision not to increase the rate. So we made a decision not to fully fund the
that
city.
That is for the general fund. Doesn't have anything to do with police and fire. When we receive,
that's what I'm asking about,
yeah.
is police and fire.
Yeah. Police and fire, we set the rate as what it's calculated based on state of Missouri approval.
And is that done yearly? Because I know we
yes.
approve those yearly.
It's
so
done.
It seems like just a few months ago we approved the rate.
Yeah, we approved. We set the rate every
yes.
October, September, October.
All right. Thank you.
Can I ask the difference between the active versus the totals? So do we, you said, for instance, in one of them it has 191 active, but just so many participating in the plan? If they're active, how are they not participants?
I'm sorry, I confused you. I was talking about the total participants in the plan. So there's 191 participants in the non-uniform plan. Of those 191, 119 are active employees currently. The remaining 70 or so participants are either retirees, beneficiaries, former participants who are vested but no longer active employees. That's the difference.
Thank you. Any other questions? Mr. Glickert?
I think this is a question for the finance director and the city manager, and I'd like to know what the process is in which we begin to move the money for both plans. It's my understanding that we have a line item in each department, and each department is responsible for that movement of the money into the fund. So I'm a little fuzzy on that, and I'd like some clarification on that.
For the non-uniform plan, yes, sir. It was expenditure for each department based on the numbers of employees and the amount of the salaries, because the cost of the plan is percentage of the total compensation. So if we increase the contribution, The other side will be expenditure for each department. And that would bring the fund balance down.
Okay. Is there any disparity within these departments outside of the number of employees within each department?
I'm sorry, what do you mean by?
Well, are we looking at equality of dispersing those funds?
Yes.
From unencumbered into pensions?
As of now, we don't have other option besides moving the fund reserve, and then it's become the expenditure.
Okay, I'll get back with you, okay?
Yeah.
Because I still have some.
Okay. Mr. Crow?
Thank you. Mr. Barrow, I guess one question I have is, when were you asked to come to our meeting?
Steve had asked me, I want to say 2 to 3 weeks ago. He knew that he wouldn't be available. He asked if I would be, and then he followed up with me last week to confirm I could make it, and we talked through details.
Thanks. And is there any reason we don't have anything in front of us about the plans, the unfunded liabilities, or we're having a study session on it? I'm just kind of trying to figure out why we're all sitting here and we don't have any of the numbers in front of us.
Mr. Walker?
No, I don't have an answer for that. It was, I don't really have an answer for that. We had asked the actuary to come to address any particular questions that council may have regarding the transfer of funds from the reserve to address the pension plan shortfall and the recommendations from the pension board.
Thank you. It just strikes me as odd, as since I go to as many of the pension meetings as I can, and it's such a paper-driven and information-driven and detail-driven process that it just strikes me as odd that we're all sitting here with nothing in front of us about the pension plan. Now, we appreciate you being here, but there's nothing here at all to talk to us at all about the actual numbers of the plan, its deficit, its participants, and it just this is an odd occurrence when the pension book comes out for each meeting. It's about this thick, and the agenda is 3 pages long, and we're talking about moving a great deal of money later on this evening. I assume this study session is a precursor to that, and we have no information in front of us.
Mr. Sharp?
My understanding is that there is a shortfall. Can you tell me what the shortfall is, and at this point, what do we do to address it?
Let me clarify. Are you speaking to the shortfall in terms of the contribution amounts or the underfunded liability that we were talking about earlier?
I think I'm talking about contribution amount, but when you say shortfall earlier, I guess I'm addressing both, but I'm addressing right now the contribution portion.
Okay. I may have to rely on Tina for the shortfall of the contribution portion.
You know, I look back at the history. I believe that for non-uniform plan, the city make contribution based on the recommended amount. And I also understand that for the few years back, maybe 10 years ago, when the market really doing well and the city stopped funding for a few years. And that's all I know. But since I have been responsible for it, I always contributed at the recommended amount plus 6.5% of interest. It depends on when we send the money in.
But what would be the recommended amount when you say this is the recommended amount? What is that?
Each year, actuary going to calculate it and provide the actuarial's valuation, like Paul just mentioned earlier that they monitor plans, so they calculate it every year and let us know where we at. For example, in 2014, the non-uniform plan is at 779 78.9, which is 79%, and police and fire is 80.9%. So based on the state of Missouri, it's recommend that if the plan funded at 80% or below 80%, we're not allowed to change or make any adjustment to the plan, such as we're going to increase the benefit for police and fire retirees, $25 per month. But since non-uniform plan is under 80%, so that plan not allowed to make any changes.
Did you have something else?
Yeah, I apologize that I didn't distribute the actuarial variation report. But when we first submit the resolution, there would be some calculation attached with it. But I will provide the actuarial evaluation report to show that where both plans is, you know, are having the funding level right now.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you. Mr. Walker, anything else? Okay, well then, with no other questions, I would adjourn this study session at 5:52.